All right, well, good morning, everybody. Good morning. Sounds like the mic's working, so that's good. It's really a pleasure to be back. I can't say that I didn't enjoy being at home and spend some time with family, but it really is a joy to come back and be with my family here again. And so as I was kind of trying to figure out, you know, it's the new year, it's 2021, it was a good idea to maybe start a new sermon series, and so there was a lecture in my Hebrews class that the professor was giving. He was talking about the race or marathon language used in the book of Hebrews. And I thought, what better way to create a series based on that that principle or that thought? And so I've come up with a little sermon series that I'm going to title Running the Marathon of Faith. And so that's when this series idea came. And it was quite a joy because I was just sitting there one morning at 8 a.m., you know, it's an 8 a.m. class, you don't really want to pay attention, and this really stuck to me. And so that was really awesome. And, you know, marathons are pretty wild. I haven't actually ran a physical marathon, but I've done several. In the military, we have these awesome things called ruck marches, and, like, they're not really awesome, but there's some that we do frequently. And essentially, it's putting on minimum weight is like 45 pounds, but you put on a backpack and you walk about 12 miles. And so it gets to be not really joyful, but it's fun. And so I think that there's something here to be said. Like there's a lot of joy when you finish 12 miles and to take that weight off your shoulders and to sit down. Or I often like to get a massage. That was something that I really enjoyed. I think that we have to be kind of a key point of the scripture we're going to look at is the implication of community and like how much your encouragement to somebody else can push both of you to finish with the race and do it with a certain sense of energy and pride as you do it. So our scripture for today is Hebrews 12:1, and it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Now, when reading the scripture, there are a few things that really stand out to me. First, there's a sequence of events here, right? If we look at this scripture as just a whole, first we're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. Next, it says to, you're going to get naked or strip off all the events and run the race. Catch the word naked. I mean, I'm just kidding, but that's what my grandma refers to as our birthday suit. So we're running this race, stripping off the physical things that are going to slow us down. And then also note that these physical things inhibit our ability to follow God wholeheartedly and run the race with perseverance to the finish line, as it says in the end of this verse. But much to like running a physical race or a marathon, this verse also points to some of the areas that we can focus on to become ready or prepared for the challenge of the race of faith that follows. During this series, we'll begin to look at what I think the four stages of running a marathon in faith are and how they relate to the physical counterparts of real marathon preparation. It's important to point out the ties in this verse to the Greek and the English. Like, for example, the word gym is gymnasium in Greek, and that's where they would go to practice for the Olympics or these events that they would do. And I think that this verse gives us three commands, two obvious ones, and then one in my mind that I think is kind of hidden. And I think that if you were to read this verse and just look at it, you might not catch it if you're not looking for it. The hidden one, I think, comes in the beginning of the verse. As it says, we are all surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Now, this at first glance might be just a statement saying like, hey, this guy's writing it because he's around a great people. But I think this is how we should be as a church in order to be ready for this race. The phrase of witnesses is used only one place in the entire Bible, other place in the entire Bible, and it's found in Numbers 35:30, in which it's describing a fair trial. It says anyone who kills a person is to be put to death as a murderer only in the testimony of witnesses, but no one is to be put to death on the testimony of only one witness. The important thing to note here is that, like much like a jury trial, we should be a great cloud of witnesses where we grow, where in a community for as a church, because that's where growth and support can happen. This verse points out in saying one witness is not enough to convict someone of murder, but many witnesses have to come together to be able to do that. So if we're going to put the church message out there, we need to do it as a group. One is not going to be enough. Notice the word, the importance placed here on the plural form of the word witness. We as a church must come together as we witness the goodness of God to the world. In turn, we will become a great cloud of witnesses, as described in the beginning of verse 12. Much like the OT passage is pointing out, a single witness testimony isn't strong enough, but when we put our testimony with other witnesses, it grows in strength. The second command that we see is to throw off everything that hinders and so easily entangles. This most certainly plays to the theme of running, as the Greek athletes would compete completely naked. They would never wear clothes because clothes are heavy and they weigh you down. But it's also easier, like, so we think about it in that aspect, but I don't know if you've ever ran anywhere, but we ran a lot in the Army, and anything you can do to shed weight just makes you that much faster. It's insane. When we were preparing to go to Korea, you wear what's called a kit, and it would be like a bulletproof vest, and you do anything you can, like, what pouches do I really need to put on here? Am I really going to use this on a mission? Can I just, like, take this off? Because anything you can do to carry a little less weight is that important to help you to make you faster. And it's crazy, like, if you go to a running store even, you look at the shoes in a running store, you're going to see each shoe is, like, measured out to weight. Like, how much grams does this shoe weigh? Just in an attempt to be faster. So I think that physically that compares, but let's look at it from a spiritual perspective. We have to learn to not be controlled by our sin. The word sin used here is the same used throughout the Old Testament in which people are sacrificing animals for the sin they have committed. Yet we already have had the sacrifice of the human incarnation of God and no longer need to sacrifice animals. We no longer need to sacrifice for this sin. So as I was prepping this message, I was thinking about how much was really just kind of weighing me down. And there's a lot going on in the world right now, obviously. COVID, the election just happened, and all of these things that were just had me angry. The protests. In fact, it was funny, this morning I was trying to get coffee on my way here, and all the Starbucks were closed, and I couldn't get coffee because of COVID, and I was angry this morning. And it's funny, as I talk to friends that have been in ministry for quite a while, that how much when you preach a sermon is God trying to show you something that's going on in your life. And so I think that we need to look at how we can get rid of the things that are weighing us down, and that way we can become lighter, much like the person trying to shed weight to run. We need to look at those things and give them away to God and become lighter to run our own race, to make not make us faster, but to make it easier to run our race. And then we look at the final command in this verse, and it says to run the race with perseverance. Now, as a person that was in the military, the word perseverance is very important to me. We were constantly told to do everything with perseverance, to persevere. There's a running joke that we used to say that if you broke your ankle, take some Tylenol and drink some water and then get back to it. Let's get back to work. And so there was no such thing as quitting, and that's important. But it's also important to remember that this is a marathon, that faith is a marathon and it's not a sprint. A sprint can be completed by anyone. Like, two of us can go out there and run a sprint, but a marathon will take a desire to complete it. We as a church need to continue to keep our fires lit to help us run this marathon. If we just go out and catch a fire and, oh yeah, I'm going to do this and this and this, that fire will fade. And much like a person that was going to run a sprint, you could finish a sprint, but you wouldn't be able to finish a marathon. It takes an internal desire to finish a marathon. And we also need to remember that there is a finish line. We're not running this race just aimlessly with no point. We're not just wandering in the woods. Now, the goal of the finish line to speak of is eternity and to enter heaven with Jesus. And we see in Ecclesiastes 3, this planning of our desire for eternity by the Lord. Let's not forget the decision we made when we begin the race and how that's impacted us, as well as if anyone who hasn't made that decision would like the opportunity to, you can talk to me or one of the elders after the service, and that would be pretty great. Now, as I was writing this sermon, I was kind of trying to figure out an illustration. What would be a good illustration? And I ended up watching a movie with my father, and this movie is called Unbroken, and it's about a World War II veteran. He was actually an Olympic runner, and he was set to compete in Tokyo in 1944. Right before Pearl Harbor. And so he's training to go run in Tokyo, and boom, Pearl Harbor happens. So now he's no longer running. He decides to join the United States Air Force as a bomber operator, and he's flying in these planes and doing all these awesome missions instead of running the Olympics. And yet he's still training as he's doing all these missions. And during one of the missions, his plane gets shot down, and he is floating in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. And he ends up floating there for about 3 weeks in a little raft boat with four other guys. And it's pretty crazy. They really struggle for food and water, and they didn't have rations, so they're trying to kill fish, and they ended up getting attacked by sharks. And they're looking for these planes and all this hope, and they're fighting to complete this, to get to the other side. And a ship starts to come, and he says that he's filled with joy until he looks up, and it's the Japanese flag. It's a Japanese destroyer that had captured him. And immediately he's relieved to an extent, but he goes straight to a POW camp in Japan. And while he's in this camp, he's tortured, and obviously, as an Olympic runner, that everybody knows who you are, even then. So the lieutenant that's running the camp finds out that he's an Olympic runner, and he's starved and malnourished and still makes him run against the officers, and he can never win, obviously, because he doesn't have the strength or the body to complete it. But it was... Later on, the camp gets captured by the U.S., and he gets released, and he comes home. And much like our stories of perseverance, he actually, in 1998, he got to run the race. He got to run his race at the Winter Olympics in Tokyo, where he got to carry the torch for the U.S. in front. So I think that this is a true tale of perseverance, right? He didn't get to run the race that he wanted to run in Japan, but he stuck with it, and he got to actually carry the torch and do something for the Olympics. So I think in conclusion, we need to remember that we're running a marathon and not a sprint. We don't need to try to take short bursts. Let's take our time, understand what we're doing, and do it in a sense that brings glory to God. But we also have to run a marathon requires us to run with perseverance, and that includes having a desire to run the race. So we need to continuously bring that desire so we can run this race in the way that it was intended to be ran. We need to remember to not be afraid to rid the things that are weighing us down. We have to have the ability to let go of these things and look at them, and then let go of our weight so that we can run more freely and easily. And then over the next few weeks, we'll like preparing for a marathon, we'll look at the various stages of faith in connection to this incredible accomplishment. We're going to look at the decision to run the race, which would be accepting Christ. And then we're going to look at the preparation, which is training, studying, doing all those things. And then we'll look at the actual race. What does the race look like from the eyes of the racer? And then finally, we'll look at the completion of the race, the reward. And I think the big point of that is going to be the gift of salvation, the reward that we're going to receive once we finish this mighty race. So I'd like to close today in prayer. So let's bow our heads. Father God, thank you for this time. Thank you for allowing me to come here and deliver a message that hopefully touches everybody's hearts and reminds us that we are indeed running a race for you. We're not just running a sprint. We need to continuously do these things that help us not only run the race, but to finish the race, because something only half done is never going to satisfy what you desire for us to have. I thank you for these people. I thank you for allowing us to meet in a place that's safe and that we can feel healthy. And I just, I'm really grateful to be here and to have an opportunity to deliver a message that you have placed on my heart. It's in your name we pray. Amen.